This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Our program today focuses on the digital and virtual learning opportunities that are available to students in the Racine Unified School District. And to lead today's discussion, I have James O'Hagan, who directs these programs for Racine Unified. Welcome to Education Matters, James.
Thank you for having me here today, Dwayne.
And thank you so much for joining me to discuss these important learning opportunities for Racine Unified students. To get started, tell our listeners, I guess, briefly about your background as an educator, because you have a nice varied background, and I know that you started your career as a fifth grade teacher in Lansing, Illinois.
Correct. Yeah, I came out of Purdue University, immediately went to the south suburbs of Chicago. So I worked in Lansing, Illinois, teaching fifth grade, and was always drawn towards technology. Went over to Homewood, Illinois, worked in that district for a few years, and then became a tech director for several districts around the Chicago suburbs. I've worked in your suburban areas. I've worked in urban areas. I've worked in rural areas. All the time, and always trying to find ways to use technology to extend learning for our students.
And I see that from your vita that you also were an assistant principal in the middle school?
No, actually, I was the assistant principal at an alternative high school that we have in Rockford, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Roosevelt Alternative High School. I was there for a year. I got a little burned out on technology and I needed to step away, and it was great to reconnect with those students. And I'll tell you, a lot of what we're doing right now with digital virtual learning in the Racine District, a lot of that, meeting the students where they're at, was a lot of the lessons that I learned when I was in Roosevelt just for that 1 year. It's working with those students who are highest need, most prone to dropout, and really working with them in unique ways. And this is really a unique way that we're reaching new students.
Well, that's wonderful, because you got the perspective on what it is to be a student and then to work with technology.
Correct, yeah.
That's great. Now, would you help our listeners understand what your position is as Director of Digital and Virtual Learning with Racine Unified, what that involves? So what's involved in digital learning?
Well, there's a couple of different things. Again, it's giving our students a lot of options to meet them where they're at. We don't have a virtual charter school in Racine. We actually have embedded our online options directly into the school. So it's not something that we're doing separately or apart from the high schools. It's actually something that's a part of. So a student would come to us with a compelling need. It might be that they want to take a foreign language that we don't offer in the school, or take an AP course that we don't offer in the school as a face-to-face class. We can offer them a virtual option to take that course. We also have some opportunities for students who, for example, may have failed a course in the past. We will use a form of credit recovery to help them regain their credits and get back on track towards graduation. In fact, this summer, we ran a summer school, and we graduated over 50 students this summer who were previously behind, but now we're able to graduate this summer. So those 50 students who might have had to sit for another year of high school,
yes,
actually finished up this summer and were able to gain their high school diplomas. Again, it's meeting the students where they're at. It's making what we do, we really are different than what a lot of virtual programs are in the rest of the state and around the nation. We really try to make things as personal as it can be. The notion that virtual learning has to be this very cold and technical thing, we really believe that by embedding it into the high schools and into our middle schools even, by providing mentorship and providing connections to our staff, that we really have created a more personal environment for our students.
And one of the things that I think I read in your material was that you encouraged all students to at least take a virtual or a course because the world that we're living in is such a technical world.
Well, it's not even just having them take the course. We actually have an orientation that we put all students through as soon as they want to come into a virtual course. So they have to complete the orientation. A lot of students come in, and it's not just the students, but it's the parents too who have this misconception about what virtual learning may be. They think that a child will just sit down at a computer and do a few things, and it will be easier for them to achieve their grades. When in fact, virtual learning is a much more rigorous endeavor a lot of times. We are still working, again, with certified teachers in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Most of our teachers in Racine Unified, we have one of the largest groups of online teachers in the whole state of Wisconsin.
Really?
Racine Unified, yes. Right now we are right around 100 teachers in Racine Unified School District are also online teachers.
Would that be middle school and high school teachers?
And some elementary school teachers who also have their licensing to be able to teach at various levels. So we're providing a lot of these options, but again, there's a lot of rigor there.
Yes.
A child can, you know, in a traditional face-to-face classroom can show up and just kind of be there.
Yes.
Not necessarily participate. The rule of thumb with us is, we like to say, is you should be dedicating at least an hour a day to your course. And when we say dedicating an hour a day, that means that you're actually actively participating in the course. There is no sitting back and watching a video.
Yes.
It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of synthesis. It's a lot of thought that goes into it. And a lot of people are not aware of that. So we
Yes.
do an orientation that all students have to complete that kind of gives them the overview of what it looks like. And they work with a mentor teacher. So the mentor teacher is actually based in some research, educational research. Sugata Mitra, who has a famous TED Talk. I think he won the TED 2013 grant. He wanted to build what he called a school in the cloud. And he worked with children in India.
Oh, yes.
In the slums. And he actually put up what he called a hole-in-the-wall computer.
Ah.
And by placing that computer in the wall, he figured, I'm going to put some information about DNA in here, and I'll come back and find out that these kids really didn't learn anything.
Yes.
Well, he came back to the slum, and he found that not only did the kids figure out how to work the computer, he didn't even give them instructions on how to do it.
Oh, my.
But they also figured out they taught themselves English. They worked together in these they collaborated together, and they did actually start to gain some knowledge. They went from a 0% pretest of understanding DNA replication to a 30% understanding.
Yes.
Now, you may say 0 to 30%, that's still an F, but we're talking about kids who had no formal educational structure around this.
Yes.
Bringing in the mentors then, he called them the Indian grandmothers.
Yes.
They're the ones who kind of sit over your shoulder and kind of go, well, tell me about that. What's going on there? What do we do there? And he saw gains from 30% to almost making grade level of understanding this information. And he's replicated this in England as well, too. So we use kind of the same mantra. We use the same idea in philosophy. Again, it's about making it personal. So you have a teacher you work with online, but you also have a mentor teacher who comes and visits you whether at your school or if you're in a homebound situation, if you're in a juvenile detention situation, if you're a homeschooled student, a private school student. We go and visit with all those kids and try to work with them to make sure that they are well supported and that they're really understanding and getting a good positive virtual experience.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just so intrigued by all of this. So there's such a variety of opportunities that kids have. So if you're a homebound student or if you're a student in a private or parochial school here in Racine, does it have to be in Racine Unified or in Racine County or what?
We actually, because of the state laws as far as open enrollments are in Wisconsin, we take students from all over the state of Wisconsin.
Ah.
Last year, we had a situation where in the Madison School District, and this is an extreme case, but it's one that we can handle. In the Madison School District, their AP computer science class was cut. The teacher took a job a few days before school.
Okay.
Rather than canceling the course, we actually have an online AP computer science teacher certified in Racine. We took on all 25 of those students and actually worked with those students throughout the whole school year.
So these students from Madison then were able to take the course that they wanted and needed.
Yes.
And through Racine Unified and your office there.
Correct. We are the one of the few providers. We have three, I believe, online Chinese language teachers. We're one of the few in the state who actually has that. So if a student in, say, Thiensville, Wisconsin wants to take Chinese. I use Thiensville because that's where my children go to school.
Is that right?
I live in Racine, but my children go to school in Thiensville, and that's nothing to report on. But if say, my daughter wanted to take that Chinese course,
yes,
she could actually enroll through us, through the open enrollment laws, and actually take the course through us.
Or somebody wanted to take Italian or whatever, Polish or...
Yeah, and if there isn't a language that we offer, there may be another... a school district in the state that has teachers certified to teach that language, of course.
Wonderful. And so through your networks, the organizations that you have here in the state, then you're able to find what most of the kinds of people that people, kids in our unified need?
Well, usually they find us.
Yes.
We're part of a larger group called the Wisconsin eSchool Network.
Yes.
Kenosha is actually a part of that same network. Other districts like Oshkosh, Appleton, Middleton, Keele, these are some of the districts that are a part of that network. And what's interesting about our program versus all theirs is we all kind of have our own way of actually of providing these services for students.
Implementing.
Correct. So Kenosha works more on a virtual charter model.
Okay.
Where you are... If you want to do a virtual learning, you come to Kenosha and you enroll with Kenosha and you work with strictly in an online program. Again, our difference is we say we don't have a full-time program. We just say you as the student, what's going to be best to fit your needs as the student? Because a lot of our students we find do want to still have that high school experience. They do want to still have that social
yes.
experience. A lot of the students we find... And this is something that's part of my doctoral research that I'm going to be studying here, especially of the students in Racine Unified, is why do they want to do something
yes.
online rather than go to school? And a lot of it, a lot of times, isn't necessarily an educational reason. It may be bullying. It may be a social-emotional. It may be a socioeconomic issue
yes.
that makes them want to do that. There's a lot of variety of reasons why. And so, again, trying to make things personal, we want to be able to understand that in Racine Unified, and we want to make sure that we are meeting the needs of those students as best as we possibly can.
And so then what Unified is doing is being more flexible in terms of ways in which students can earn the credits that they need to complete their high school diplomas.
Yes. It's people talk about personalized learning. I see personalized as kind of like, you know, you go to McDonald's and you say, well, I want a Whopper, you can't have a Whopper at McDonald's. I go to McDonald's.
I don't know.
Okay,
that.
Let's say I go to Burger King instead.
Yes.
They tell me to go to Burger King. So I go to Burger King, I ask for a Whopper, but I say I only want pickles and onions on it.
Yes.
That's a personalized sandwich. It's still a Whopper, okay? What we're doing is we're saying is this is personal. We're saying let's look at every child individually and say what do they really want? And what can we really provide for them effectively that's going to be complete, that's going to still help them meet their educational goals?
And there's advising for them so that they don't bite off, say, more than they can chew and that type of thing. And do they have to finish a course before they can take another course too?
Yeah, there really is there's a lot of people who think they can come in and go, well, I'm going to take four online
yes.
courses and I'm going to be successful. And again, we run them through the orientation, and some people find out right away that this isn't exactly what I had in mind. In fact, when a student starts a course, we give them a two-week window for which they can start the course. And after 2 weeks, they can decide whether to continue or they can drop the course without any penalty. It works out very well for our teachers who are working with these students because they're not dragging on with a student who
yes.
may become inactive. But again, with that first course, we typically try to keep things, we shall say, light.
Yes.
As much as we can. There are students, again, who can do a full-time experience. But to the parents who are thinking about this as an option, what I would say to you as advice is if you're looking at really wanting a full-time option for your child, you really have to have a much more strict structure in the home than you would typically have with them going to school, because the school day is already set up for them. The bell schedule is there. You know when you have to be there and you know when you have to leave.
Right.
With an online environment, you do have a bit of a pacing guide. You're given about 16 weeks to complete a course. Some students finish a little early. Some students need a little extra time. But in those 16 weeks, you really have to be a self-motivated time manager and understand what you need to get done day after day after
disciplined.
Day. Very disciplined, yes. So for the we've had some situations where a student is a truant student, and in order to get the phone calls to stop for truancy, some people may look to us to say, well, can't we just enroll my kid in a virtual program? And we try to, again, we try to counsel them about exactly what it is they're getting into.
Yes.
before we start looking at that. But again, we don't have a full-time program as of yet. We are trying to develop a full-time option. But again, we don't want to just make it a stale sort of technical thing. We want it to be a personal experience for kids. We want it to be where they're still connected. So if it's a child who is in the boundaries of Case High School or Park High School or Horlick, that they can still feel a part of that community, that they don't feel like they're separate from. They could still participate in music. They could still participate in sports. They can still do extracurricular activities,
theater and whatever,
theater, band, be able to come into the building and feel like they can go to the libraries.
Yes.
So that's the other part of my job. And for the audience to know, Dwayne and I work together on the Racine Public Library Board. And I really see a connection, you know, between the physical spaces that we have in our buildings with digital virtual learning. And really what we're saying with having the libraries be a part of this experience is that we need a place, whether we're trying to make things as digital as it is, we really want to provide our students a space that they feel that they can come and be supported in their educational endeavors, whatever path that may be.
Right. And that gives them access to resources, too.
Absolutely, yes.
That they may need to for their courses that they are taking.
Right. So, again, we're still working on how we can provide this in a great way for our kids, because we want it to be a great experience in a full-time. Right now, again, we are not a full-time option, but we are working towards a full-time option for our students.
So that's a long-term goal, then, as far as Racine Unified is concerned.
Correct.
With this program.
Correct.
Okay. Let's continue talking here. One of the things that I was interested in was the idea of, is there a space in school, like at Horlick High School, Case High School, Park High School, a room with computers and so forth, where these students can go during fifth period to work on their course?
There are some cases where students are actually taking a virtual course, and they do have a time set aside in their school day to go work on this.
Uh-huh.
But there are other students as well. We've seen a lot of we've seen virtual work for a lot of two major groups: students at the low end who are trying to catch up through a credit recovery,
uh-huh.
and students that are trying to accelerate, who are trying to get a higher GPA to work towards a graduation position for a scholarship to a university.
Right.
So there's a lot of students who will overload their schedule and actually take a online course as part of a outside of the normal school hours. So they'll work on that at home completely separately.
Okay.
But yes, we do have spaces in each of our schools for them to work with the mentors and be supported there.
Okay. Now, each student then who takes one of these classes then has a mentor teacher in the district, in Racine Unified then. How is that figured into, say, workload for a teacher if I'm a member of the faculty at one of those schools?
Our mentor teachers, they work a regular school day. They are a full-time school teacher. They have a full FTE. And so they work it's almost like I guess you could say they work as an advocate. They work as a counselor. They
Yes.
work as a support. They work as an additional teacher. They work Jason and Michelle and Kelly, who are my mentors at the comprehensive high schools, do a fantastic job.
Okay.
Randy Henderson, who is our mentor, he kind of is out and about in the community. He works with our students at Real School, at the alternative ed program, and he also works with the students on Homebound and in the detention center. We have a new mentor this year. Joey Luba is a full-time mentor at Walden School.
Okay.
And then Chris Hood is working with our elementary and our middle school kids. So we actually have a number of fifth graders, approximately about 100 a year, who are right now taking an accelerated sixth grade math course. So they're not taking their normal fifth grade. They're taking a sixth grade advanced math course. And then that puts them in position for when they get to high school that they can start taking geometry their freshman year.
Right.
And then Algebra 2, and then we're looking at the calculus and pre-calc and things like that.
Okay. The information that I identified from your website then indicated that last year virtual learning at RUSD supported 5,000 enrollments, 300 staff, and 28 sites with 450 courses in our catalogs. Tell our listeners about that. So that's what you've been talking about now is these courses and these students.
Well, when we say 5,000, we don't mean 5,000 students. When we say 5,000 enrollments, that's a combination of a number of things. A lot of that could be the credit recovery that we're doing.
Okay.
And the original credit virtual courses as well.
Yes.
But I guess you could say the less – I won't say less, but – I haven't talked a lot about our credit recovery options for our students. There's a sense of
let's stop just a minute.
Sure.
and define for our listeners then what credit recovery is.
Okay, so a student may have taken a course and failed.
Yes.
In most cases, what happens is that student who's failed the course has to take the course all over again.
Yes.
Which puts them a little bit behind on their graduation progress. What we have done is we have set up we're moving things more into the school day, and we also have after-school programs and summer school. But for those students to come in, and we use a software called Odysseyware, and there's a teacher in the room, and the teacher kind of, again, serves as sort of a mentor. And the student works through a series of modules that pre-tests them first on what they don't know.
Yes.
Then provides them a set of lessons on those things that they don't know, and then gives them a final test on just on everything. So it fills in the gaps, we shall say, with
yes.
the software. So the student then can earn a grade again for that course, and we don't let a student fail credit recovery. It's something that we feel is they've already failed the course once. It's punitive for them to
yes.
fail again. So we continue to work with the students, and it becomes a competency-based program. And that's what a lot of this is as well, too. Even our virtual options, our original credit options, this is all competency-based.
Yes.
So we typically don't let a student go on to the next lesson until they can demonstrate at a 70% level or higher that they really understand the content. You know, typically our face-to-face classrooms are on a bell schedule, and the course moves through on the teacher's pace and what they decide. And really, the student may need a little extra time somewhere along the way to work on a section, or you know, something happens in life and they needed to step away from the class for a little bit. But again, this is all based around competency. It's about wanting to make sure that the student actually understands the information that they're taking in.
That's wonderful, because obviously if they didn't understand what they were taking now, they wouldn't be prepared, didn't have the background for the next course, whatever it might be.
Correct.
Related to that.
Correct.
And that sort of – okay. If a person is interested, one of our listeners is interested in contacting Racine Unified about having setting up a program for their child or whatever, how would he or she go about it, or how would the student go about it if he or she is interested?
Well, that's a great question, because we do get a lot of phone calls from people who just they know that they need to do something. They feel
yes.
they feel compelled to do something, and a lot of times we get parents who feel like they've tried everything, and they know that they want their child to succeed.
Yes.
And what I would counsel the parents to do is start with your school counselor. We always try to make sure that our counselors are the gatekeepers of access, because we want to make sure that our students, again, are getting the courses that they actually need in order to graduate. We want to make sure that the schools are aware that these students are actually a part of this. And we want to make sure that our parents kind of the process isn't sort of haphazard. We want to make sure that the process for getting the proper support for your kids is something that we're all – it's a community effort around the student.
Okay. Now, what about private school students then in our community? Can they also then turn to Racine Unified? I think you've indicated already that they can.
Yes, private school students. We work with St. Cat's quite a bit. St. Lucie's School. We had four parents reach out to us recently about a French course for four of their students.
Ah.
But and this goes for homeschool students as well too. That Wisconsin law allows for us to provide up to two online courses at any one time for any child. So that's concurrent. So let's say a child finishes an online course. They may come back to us and say, can I enroll in another one? So they can be taking up to two courses at any one time. Homeschool parents will like this too, because what that then does is generates a grade from a public high school.
Yes.
And I know that in talking to some homeschool community groups, one of the concerns that they have is their transcripts sometimes are put into question by, by universities. What we're saying is it's a great way to show, and you can still keep your homeschool designation, but it's a great way to show how you compare to other students at the traditional public high school.
Provides concrete evidence then for that college or university looking at that student. You know, mom just didn't do all of this work. You did it.
Yes, absolutely. And again, working with our mentors, our tests are proctored. So it's not like you're just doing the test, putting it in an envelope and sending it off. And no, this is an actual proctored exam. So typically our mentors, again, Randy Henderson being one of the major ones, he will typically he's met with people at McDonald's. He's met with people he's proctored tests at the Racine Public Library, Kenosha Public Library. So he travels throughout the community to try to do this. And if it's a student who's in an off-site location away from Racine County, typically we'll work with that district to make sure that the tests are properly proctored.
How young an age would, say, like homeschooled parents then have access to courses for their kids to take? Because I can see a parent maybe not being strong, say, in mathematics and would want to be sure that their child was learning quality mathematics.
Sure. From my own personal experience, I feel that the online curriculum that's available for kids, I mean, I've seen online curriculum available for kids in pre-K and kindergarten.
Really?
And to me, it being an elementary school background, an elementary school teacher in the past.
And also a parent.
And a parent of kids. That to me is a time when kids really need to be working on socialization skills. I've had some questions about the validity and the strength of elementary level curriculum. But when we start getting into the fifth, sixth, seventh, I mean, again, with Racine Unified, we start with our kids in fifth grade. We've had some students who probably could do the work at a fourth grade level too. But again, it's that level of maturity and that level of structure and support to make sure that that's there. That's always a concern. But in my mind, the great jumping off point for me is right about fifth or sixth grade, and starting with things like mathematics. It's a great structured course. It's a great way to introduce the child into online learning and to doing something that is self-guided and self-paced. And that you talked about that discipline that's needed, you know, instilling that discipline.
Right. Okay. Do you expect the same or greater enrollments during this current school year in your programs, or do you have any sense for that yet? Now this is only a week of end of the school year.
Well, we are in the midst of a major upgrade of our curriculum. The platform that we're working on is changing right now as we speak. Kelly Pocop, who is my digital learning coordinator, is hard at work getting our courses all set up, finalized, set up to launch early next week. Especially now with the academies. When I was in Rockford, Illinois, I proposed the idea of a virtual learning school. Rockford, Illinois also uses an academy model, and they've had quite a bit of success with their academies. And the idea I had was, as the academies start to grow and as kids move their way through the branches, I vision the academies as like there's a tree and there's branches for the different academies.
Right.
And as they go through the branches and get out towards the twigs of the sticks at the end of the tree, you may have one or two kids who need a very specific online course.
Yes.
Rather than having a whole face-to-face course around it, we can use these online options to support our academies as well, too.
So that can provide more individualization
exactly.
then for the program for each student. Tell our listeners just a bit about academies, the model that Racine Unified is starting this school year.
Yeah, so this year Racine Unified has launched academies at each of the high schools. Each high school kind of has a specialization, and each academy has a specialization built into it. But the students will still take all their same core course curriculum, but their electives are going to be more geared towards what their interests, their career-based interests are. So when I was in high school, there was a lot of you know, the typical, you're going to take a shop class your freshman year, you're going to take a home ec class your sophomore year, and so on and so forth. This is really starting to make connections with kids to the community and the businesses in the community, to really give them a hands-on experience with their futures and their hopefully their future careers.
Okay. I'm thinking, too, in terms of moving into to the future as far as these courses are concerned. So you're going to be then complementing the courses available here in Unified then through these academies, which makes them much more individualized then for the students. And I think that's really a real complement to the district.
Well, we're a small complement to the academies. We aren't the end all be all part of the academies. But yes, we are providing as many, again, the options to for personal learning for every child. Whatever their compelling need may be, we want to see if we can help with that compelling need.
Right. At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD-HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today I'm visiting with James O'Hagan, the Director of Digital and Virtual Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Digital and virtual learning involves distance learning opportunities that are available in Racine Unified. Now back to our program. Another aspect of your position in Racine Unified is responsibility for the library. So let's talk a little bit about that, because they certainly are very basic then to not only these digital courses and so forth, but all of the courses that are offered.
The libraries in schools have been undergoing tremendous transformation over the last few years. It's kind of funny how I came into libraries. When I started in Rockford and I was given the role of Director of Instructional Technology with that school district, I was almost walking out the door of the interview and they said, oh, by the way, you also oversee libraries. And I wasn't sure how to take that at first, but I will say that space impacts behavior, and the invitation to learning, what draws kids into a school is key. And I feel that the libraries are one of these spaces that for many years has been kind of overlooked as a place where people just go to get books and sit there and read, and it's quiet. And that kind of warehouse mentality around a library is changing tremendously. Mm-hmm. Rather than developing a warehouse, we're looking at how can our libraries now become marketplaces, where every day, you know, think of in your mind of a marketplace, farmer's market, whatever it is. You go to that farmer's market 1 week and you'll find a variety of different things. And then you come back the next week and it could look completely different. You may see some of the same vendors, but they may have different things to sell that week. So our libraries are kind of becoming the educational marketplace as well, too. I picture in my mind libraries are bustling places. There are quiet spaces, but there's also activities such as maker spaces where they're doing projects in the library. There may be students who are meeting together to do study groups. There's students who are taking virtual courses. There is soft seating. There is the rigid hard seating that some kids like. It really is. And here's the thing is, you would say to me, well, James, if you were going to build a library, what would you put in there?
Yes.
Every library is going to be unique to the building environment that you're supporting. There really has to be a strong study by a designer and an educator and a group to look at what goes into that space and make sure that it really fits the need of the students. For example, Real School right now is going through a rebuild out at the Sturtevant Sportsplex.
Okay, yes.
Real's focus is around engineering. I believe is the main focus is around engineering.
Okay.
Their library needs are going to be completely different than, say, Giese Elementary School's.
Right.
Or even Case High School's library needs. If their focus is going to be more engineering, we need to design more of a makerspace. We need to look at what devices and tools are going to come in here to support the learning that's going on in that building.
Yes.
I wouldn't put a law library at Horlick High School. Students would walk into a law library and go, what purpose does this even serve for us? Okay. You go to a school like Wadowitz that has a very high special needs population.
Right.
That library needs to be designed and redesigned around the concepts of a lot of the kids in this building are in wheelchairs and have difficulty navigating down the rows of the library. So we need to make sure that the shelving is appropriate so that it's wide enough for them to go through and the books are still accessible for them and that the space speaks to them and is usable by them. So to say what does one good library look like, it's very difficult to say in a school environment, but they are definitely transforming. And digital virtual learning does have a space or a need for space in these libraries and schools.
And as the academies of Racine come in further into focus as we move into next year and the following years, the libraries are going to need to have resources that reflect what those academies are about. And so that's part of your task then.
Correct. I worked with a fantastic... I wish I could get her up here to Racine. I've been bugging her.
Uh-huh.
Her name's Christina Johnson. She was a fantastic librarian that I worked with in Rockford, Illinois. But she would actually collect data on students when they would come down to the library, not just who are you and what class did you
yes.
come from, what academy are you a part of?
Uh-huh.
So she could start to see the patterns of what academies were doing what work, so she could then start to, as she developed the purposeful collection that she had,
right.
that it would be materials that would actually support the learning of those students. It's very prideful for a school to say, well, we have 270 kids and we have 15,000 books.
Yes.
Well, if you're an elementary school child, 5 years old, put yourself in the shoes of a five-year-old, walking into a library with 15,000 books is going to be very overwhelming, especially if the bookshelves are 6 feet high.
Right.
So we need to make sure that the collections that we have, again, are not just, there's always a fear about weeding or deselecting is the other term they used, our collections. But weeding needs to be purposeful so that we build a collection that is inviting for the kids, it meets the educational needs, and we're putting in new materials so that we're keeping things updated and fresh for the students as well, too. And now that we have between Racine Public Library and Racine Unified School District, a partnership where every student in Racine Unified School District has now access to the public library because they all have a library card, now we have a much greater resource that we can tap in the community.
So Racine Unified students then really have direct access then to the collection that's in the Racine Public Library, not to mention then the collections that are available to the Racine Public Library itself.
Yes, correct.
So it's going to be a much more enriching world for the students, but it also is going to require librarians then who, like you said, need to know what kids are working on so that he or she can refer them to the materials that they need to be looking at.
Yeah, we have some fantastic librarians in the Racine Unified School District. I know Mark Westoff, who works out at Westridge Elementary. That's elementary school is now an IB school. It's one of the few elementary IB schools in the nation. And Mark has completely redesigned his library experience for his students and his staff, where no longer is it a drop-off, but it's a place where the students actually have taken ownership of
yes.
some of the library roles, such as check-in or check-out of books is now done by the students. Rather than having a librarian stand behind a desk and check out books for kids, he says, why don't we teach the kids how to check out the books?
Exactly.
And then we can use the time for other things. So you don't necessarily have to have me here because I'm going to be out in the classroom supporting your educational
right.
experience for your kids. So when they come down to the library, we all know what's going on. It's not just a drop-off and leave experience, but it's a connected experience back to the classroom.
That's wonderful. And that provides the kids then with a responsibility that's different than the responsibility that they've had. And consequently, that's important then in just growing up as a human being.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, if a listener would like further information about these courses, is there a website or that they can go to or a phone number that they could call to find out more detail what's available? Like if I were a homeschooling parent, then where would I turn on Unified's website?
Well, if you go under, I think it's under departments, RUSD,
yes.
and look for digital and virtual. That will link directly to our department page with our contact information. If people do not have access or can't find it, the phone number that they can call for my department is area code 262-664-8734. Again, that's 262-664-8734, and that'll get them in contact with my department.
And if they can't think of anything else, call the counselor at the local school?
Talk to their counselor. The high school counselors, the middle school counselors, those are the ones who are going to be in a position to best know exactly what it is that your child needs. And if they're an elementary school student and they have a compelling need, because the elementary schools don't really have counselors,
yes,
they can go talk to the building principals and say, I feel like my child would benefit from taking a course in French or an accelerated math course or whatever.
He or she needs this for thus and so on and mm-hmm. so. And those people can help out and get tap into the resources that are already there.
Correct.
That's wonderful. So how would an adult listener, if he or she were interested in courses to complete a high school diploma, if I didn't have a high school diploma and didn't have a GED, would I call the school counselors too, the same thing?
No, actually, if you're looking to complete your GED work, because if after a certain age, I believe it's after the age of 21, you're going to have to go for a GED option too, which is what they call it now. You can call the Racine Alternative Education Program. And they can help you with the GED 2 options. And I believe you can also, and I may be incorrect about this, I might want to double check this for me, Dwayne.
Yes.
But you can go, I believe, to the Racine Public Library, and they can also direct you to where you can get GED educational services.
And it seems to me the neighborhood centers in Racine had information on GED services,
the
too.
The cop houses?
The cop houses.
They've
got neighborhoods, the community centers.
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe the community centers may have that as well, too.
And so on. So, and I know that Gateway Technical College, where we are sitting as we prepare this broadcast, they also have access to that information. Is there any other topics that you want to share with our audience then as we are approaching the end of our time here today?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of research that goes into – speaking back on virtual programs, there's a lot of recent research into virtual programs that has had a lot of negatives, where there's been a higher failure rate. You know, virtual charters basically collecting money and then kind of leaving the kids to wither and die on the vine, if you will. And I would like to say that in Racine Unified, again, it's important to note that we are embedding things into our regular school day. Again, we want to make it as much of a personal experience for our kids, a positive personal experience. We want to make virtual personal.
Yes.
And so what we're trying to do really is make sure that we are providing spaces, we are providing structures and supports to make sure that our kids are properly supported in this digital virtual environment to meet their needs. We don't want them to feel that they are sitting out there alone and feeling like they just have to complete this work on their own, and the parents get frustrated. This is a model that we feel is going to be best for the students in the long run, and is going to I think going to be the model that most people are going to go to here in the near future.
Okay, and it gives them skills that they're going to need as they move into this society that we are living in.
Correct.
Today. To our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as we visited with James O'Hagan, Director of Digital and Virtual Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Digital and virtual learning involves distance learning opportunities that are available through Racine Unified. I wish you well in your task of helping Racine Unified students take advantage of these learning opportunities through the Unified School District. If you'd like to hear previous Education Matters, go to wwgtd.org and click on Shows, and then proceed to Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Become a professionally trained truck driver in just 5 weeks and get job placement assistance. Courses for the Class A CDL license are held in Kenosha year-round. Also, upgrade from a B to an A license in just 2 weeks. Visit gtc.edu.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance will have their annual Inspire event on September 28th at the Journey Church in Kenosha from 7:30 to 5:30. The event features inspirational lectures from many speakers. Visit kaba.org/inspire.
Hi, I'm Bob Tenuta of the Gateway Radio Reading Service. We volunteers read the local newspapers to the visually impaired over the radio. Would you like to do the same and not having to move one toe out of your home? Call me at 564-3870.
Now to Brown, puts it up.
GatewaySportsWeb.org is now on your smartphone.